Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. It's Wednesday, February the 9th, and today Paul continues a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we invite you to open God's Word with us. And now with today's lesson on laying up treasures and anxiety, here's Pastor Paul.
In this next section on the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus deals with the subject of worry or anxiety. And he does it by first dealing with the subject of treasures or material possessions. I'm reading from Matthew 6, beginning with verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So, if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Before we delve into just what Jesus is saying here about worry and anxiety, let's consider what he says about treasure. In verse 19, he tells us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, and goes on to explain that this is because those treasures are temporary and fleeting. They can rust, they can be destroyed, they can be stolen. But instead, we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where these things cannot happen. The question of how Christians should deal with wealth is very much a live one today. As we look around at many of the popular Christian personalities in this world and see that they fly on million-dollar aircrafts and spend millions and millions of dollars every year of their organization's fund on various, well, frivolous and personal endeavors, we wonder if perhaps there's some truth in the teaching that Christians ought to be poor. But here, Jesus is not teaching about wealth. That is, the teaching in the Sermon on the Mount is not about whether a Christian should be rich or poor, whether they should have great material possessions or no material possessions at all. There are really two different kinds of mistakes you can make in interpreting the Bible. One of them is just being wrong about what a passage says, just misunderstanding what it's trying to communicate and being wrong in your interpretation of it. But a second kind of error is taking a passage and applying it to a situation to which it does not speak. That's the case here if we apply this passage to the question of whether or not Christians should be impoverished or wealthy or somewhere in between. This passage isn't about whether or not we should have things. This passage is about how we should think about the things that we have. Whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, what Jesus is commanding us is that we not consider those things treasures. That means that we don't find our worth or value in them. More importantly, that we don't find our security in them. That we don't think, well, I'm going to be okay because I've got this. It's like when people look outside and see that it's snowing or beginning to ice, and the first thing they want to know is whether or not they have four-wheel drive. Well, if you've got four-wheel drive, you'll be all right. As if four-wheel drive is the savior for icy driving. Now, don't get me wrong, it's nice to have, But if I'm going to be all right, it's because the Lord my God is my protector, not because I've got four-wheel drive. It's a bit of a silly example, and somewhat intentionally so, but what often happens in the Christian life or in human lives in general is that we take that line of thinking and we apply it in some very serious ways. We save a little bit of money in the bank and suddenly we think that we're going to be okay no matter what happens in the future. Or, more tragically, we think that if we simply attend church or try to do what's good and what's right by people, we'll be saved and find favor with God. Jesus' aim here is that we would not lay up treasures. These treasures are fleeting and temporary by their very nature. There are moths that destroy, there is rust that ruins, and there are thieves who steal. If you put all of your hope and all of your confidence, all of your trust into these things on earth, whether it's because you have a lot or because you have a little, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak. These things cannot save you. These things will not last. And so your treasure ought to be on heavenly things. That way, your heart won't be broken by their destruction or when they're taken from you. If you put all of your self-worth into your job or into the size of your 401k, what will you think of yourself when those things go away? Likely, you'll suffer heartbreak. But Jesus says that if you will put your treasure in the things of heaven, the things that cannot be destroyed, the things that cannot be taken away, if your heart is with those things, you're in a much safer place. Now notice the transition Jesus makes in connecting his teaching about treasures to his teaching about anxiety. In verse 22, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness." Think about what the eyes do. They focus us on where our bodies are headed. If you want to walk in a particular direction, you're well served to look there first, lest you stumble. The eye sets forth, and even in some ways, chooses the path that the feet are going to follow. Jesus says, with respect to treasures, and before taking up anxiety, that we need to make sure our eyes are healthy, so that our bodies are full of light. He expands on this in the next verses. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one or love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." That's really what this passage is about. Who do you serve? In whom will you place your trust and your faith? Will you place it in the Lord God, or will you place it in treasures of this earth? He wants your eye to be fixed on the things of heaven. He wants your eye to be fixed on God, so that as you go through the events and the actions of day-to-day life, your feet are being led toward heavenly things and not toward earthly things, toward the things that are worth trusting in, rather than the things that can be destroyed or taken away. This, Jesus says, is the key to anxiety. If you put your trust in things that are temporary, things that can disappear or be stolen or be destroyed, you have every reason to be anxious. After all, you've put your trust in something less than permanent. You've decided to serve money rather than God. But Jesus says that if you will focus your eye heavenward, if you'll put your treasure on those things rather than on the things of this world, you can not be anxious. That's the logical conclusion of everything he's taught so far and where he goes in verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jesus gives some examples. He talks about the birds of the air, about how these birds don't really work much. These birds don't produce much for God's kingdom other than beauty and displaying his glory. They don't actively work for the good of his kingdom the way men and women can by his Spirit. And yet, God has taken these birds, who are not made in his image, and he's clothed them, and he's given them shelter, and he's given them food to eat. Now, if this is what God does with birds, what will he do with his children? What will he do with those that he made in his own image? What will he do with those that he loved so much, he called to himself? Are we not of more value than they? Verse 27 is a great reminder for us. You probably have heard it said even outside of the biblical context before, but it's quoting Jesus here. Who, by being anxious, can add a single hour of lifespan to his life? Jesus gives a second example. He talks about the lilies of the field. They have even less to offer than the birds, we might think, since the birds are at least mammals flying about, moving things from here to there, and the lilies, well, they just grow up and die. And yet God clothes them in such beauty. He demonstrates such tender care and concern for them. Why do we think he would do differently with us? Jesus concludes that therefore we ought not to be anxious. We ought not to ask, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And why not? Because your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. At the end of this passage, Jesus gives us the instruction that summarizes everything he's been teaching about wealth, about treasures, and now about anxiety. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is about keeping our eyes fixed on the things of heaven. It's about having our hearts in the things of heaven rather than in the treasures of this life. It's about having our body led by desires to be servants of God, to follow after his ways and his righteousness, rather than after our own selfish desires. It's easy to get wrapped up in the things of this world. Now, let me say clearly, I'm not opposed to having material possessions. I see nothing in the Bible that says Christians are to be poor and to give away everything that they own at all times. We're certainly to be generous, and we're not to be attached to these things in our hearts, putting our trust and hope in them, which should be in God. But God does not make all wealth bad all the time. But he tells us to be careful about what we think of as treasure. Do we think that our job, our retirement accounts, do we think that these are our treasure? What about our family? Do we put all of our worth in this life, all of our hope for good days ahead, in our family? Families are wonderful, but families too are fleeting. Children grow up and they move away. People get sick and they die. And sometimes even tragedies, so to speak, befall on our young people as children die and are taken away from their parents. We have to be careful what we think of as treasure. We can love these things. We can be grateful to God for them. Indeed, that's the appropriate response. But we've got to be careful about where our heart is. If we put our heart in anything that's in this world, anything that's temporary, if we put all of our hopes and our dreams and our aspirations, all of our confidence and security in things that belong to this world, we're going to be in trouble at some point. No, my friends, we need to set our eyes on things of heaven, being grateful for what we have here, but loving and trusting in that which can never be taken from us, the goodness and love of God.
You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial support of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. You can listen to and download our programs free. Check out the show notes and find links to helpful resources related to today's broadcast. And there's information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible financial gifts. In exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com, and we would love to have you worship with us this week. Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church is located at 508 Harvey Street, one block off Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. I hope you'll join us again Thursday for more Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.